Edmonton's home for breaking news on your favorite teams. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 CHED.
Okay, so it's Quebec and Peterborough at the Memorial Cup tonight. They're just about to get underway. Quebec is 2-0. Peterborough is 0-2. So if Quebec were to win, they go right to the championship game, and Peterborough would be out. And that would mean Kamloops and Seattle would play in the final round robin game tomorrow, and then also in the semifinal on June 2nd, also known as Friday, if you like going by days of the week. Brewers and Blue Jays, 7-2 Jays, top of the seventh. And Elks back at practice today. Well, they practiced yesterday as well. And they will play on Sunday, June 11th, against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to kick off the regular season. 3:30 for the countdown to kick off here on 6:30 CHED. And the game will start at 5. And I am pleased to welcome back to Inside Sports. It's been too long since we've welcomed this gentleman to the show. One of the all-time great receivers in the Canadian Football League. Played for the Double E, played for Toronto. Mookie Mitchell is on the line. Mookie, it's Reed. How are you doing?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. Glad to be back.
You have graced us with your presence a few times, sometimes on the phone. You've come into studio a couple of times, and we've sat around and had some laughs and told some stories. How's life treating you? What are you up to lately?
Oh, it's good. It is good, man. You know, just still working as usual, working with the boys at the boys' home. And, hey, went by the game this weekend. It was a good turnout. I like what I saw on the field with the boys. It shows a lot of promise this year.
I think there's some promise as well. I want to talk to you about that, but let's touch on that other side of your life, because I think you do some really important work. You know, you've mm-hmm. remained in Edmonton after your career, which mm-hmm. Edmontonians appreciate, and you're making an impact. Tell us a little bit about the work that you do and the impact you try to make in these young guys' lives.
Yeah, well, I work with all Indigenous boys. They range from 8 years all the way up to 18 years of age, right? I'm running two homes. You know, I make sure all the boys are up to date with all their medical, dental, optical, you know, get them enrolled into sports programs, or if the boys don't have that that sports background, whatever hobby or whatever they like to participate in, either myself or my staff, we enroll the boys into these programs. You know, I keep them connected with their culture. Whenever they have anything back up north, whenever I got to drive them to high level, like during the summer or during like the Christmas break, you know, or even if it's just regular home visits, I sometimes make it my responsibility to drive the boys, because it's always good to see, even though these boys are removed from their homes, you know, it's good to just see, and I try my best to just always keep them connected with their family, because family is first.
Well, good for you, Mookie, for doing that. I mean, I know you have so much passion for that, and thanks for outlining mm-hmm. what you do. That is awesome. You mentioned mm-hmm. you went to the preseason game. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned there's some promise. I thought the two running backs, Brown and Brooks, looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. We didn't see a lot of the first string receivers. I mean, I think Lewis caught one pass.
Yeah,
I think Dunbar caught one pass. But, like, is how like you used to play, so you know what it's mm-hmm. like to be at those games. So how do you now evaluate a preseason game as a viewer as opposed to a player, right?
Yeah, and I mean, once you know this part, the coaches already know who's going to be the starters. I know it's kind of a little disappointment for the fans, because you know how the team have you know, been trying really strong the last couple of years, and I think just seeing with the players that we brought in this year, I mean, it's really promised on paper. Like we said, with the receivers, the running backs, you know, you got Cornelius coming back as well. You know, Trey looked good. So defense looked as solid, you know. So I can't wait to see June 11th, right, just to see, you know, when it's live bullets. So I think, and with fingers crossed, like I think they'll win like a couple of games at home this year, just with the talent that they have on paper.
Well, yeah, much long overdue to win a home game. I hope it's much more than a couple, but we'll start with one after the way the last 2 years have gone.
Let's get one.
Yeah. Well, and like, I'm not at practice every day like Dave and Morley are, so I rely on what I hear from other people. And the consensus kind of is the West might be wide open after Winnipeg. So who knows, right? If you get on a roll.
I know. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So that's why I say I'm really excited. I mean, you know, I'm always excited. It's football, right? So.
When you played a preseason game, and obviously you were a star in the league pretty much your whole career, would a coach tell you, okay, this is how we're going to use you in the preseason? Would they ever say, hey, how many series do you want in the preseason? Like, what went into that in deciding how much the obvious starters were going to play in exhibition games?
Yeah, so the coaches, they pretty much would make that call. Like, the majority of the preseason games, the starters, we wouldn't even play in the first game. You know, if the preseason game was a way, the coach gave us that option of if we wanted to travel or not. Going into the second, that's when we, years ago, we did bulk of the work. Whether it was the first three or we did, you know, at least the second to the fourth. Because you're trying to get your breathing and you're trying to get that tempo and all your timing down, right? Because the majority of teams years ago, you're playing your starters the bulk of the second preseason game.
So, and there are, I referenced a couple of the new guys. There are some new receivers. Cornelius is back at quarterback. You would have had a few quarterbacks throughout the course of your career.
Yeah.
Tell me about building chemistry. Do you have to get used to a new quarterback? Do you tell him, like, I had Corny on the show last week and he said Eugene Lewis likes the ball above his shoulder pads, right? Like, he likes it head high, or he wants to go up and snatch it away from the DB. Would you have those types of conversations? How long did it take to figure each other out?
Well, I mean, this is just some of it, especially when you got just like a veteran group. And I just can remember, like, years ago when it was myself, Ed Hervey, Jason Tucker, right? Whenever we had certain plays that Ricky Ray or Danny Machocha would design for us, Ricky would always ask us, like, where do you want me to place the ball? Because like he was saying, like, most receivers like it just a certain type of way. So I ran so many bubble screens. So I used to always tell Ricky, like, throw me upfield because it's going to take my momentum upfield, and it also forces me to just hit another gear. So when you're catching it, I'm catching it like full stride. Like, most receivers may want just like a quick screen thrown right at them. I'd rather you lead me upfield and force me to attack the ball, right?
Well, and I remember catching a lot of those. And, like, that's the thing you hear about quarterbacks, or sometimes I'll be watching a game and I'll hear the commentator say he was covered, but the quarterback threw him open. So is that, like, a certain hip or a certain shoulder?
Yeah, and I remember just, like, my first year playing with Flutie, and I'll suit up if that guy was to ever suit up again. Like, so I just could remember when I was still trying to learn, like, the CFL game and just, you know, just learning just like the width of this field, like that a lot of us Americans take for granted until you get out there. So one of the things Flutie would do is if he saw a guy like about to blow me up, he would always throw a back shoulder. So that would tell me that somebody is coming that I didn't see, that he saw. So that's the thing of just playing with a quarterback with a lot of experience, that he didn't throw me into that headache, like, if I didn't see it. But once I learned it and got a feel for the game, it makes the game really easy for that quarterback and that receiver. The more you guys talk, the more you communicate, you sit next to each other in the meeting rooms and you're studying opposing defenses, you start to think. And when you talk like a quarterback, when you're a receiver, you're starting to see what this guy see. And you've seen that with Cavillo and Cajun. It's a deadly combination when a quarterback and a receiver is on the same page.
Well, I like how you explain that, and I think that's a real good observation, or maybe something for fans to remember, because like sometimes I might be watching a game and I might think, oh, the quarterback, like, he didn't lead him, he put the ball behind him. But you're telling me sometimes he's actually protecting his receiver by doing that.
Yeah, that quarterback is protecting that receiver because that receiver didn't see something that quarterback sees, right? So a lot of the times, as a receiver, we should see the whole defense. But nowadays, you're seeing there are so many exotic defenses that you get. Like I said, you're getting these younger receivers. Well, not just younger, but the newer guys coming up, Americans coming up here, and you're not fully understanding that coverage or just understanding that guy that's playing like that robber position, right? So for a quarterback that's not experienced or an experienced one, sometimes you can force that quarterback to throw in the coverage, and then that's when you're seeing a lot of boos coming from those fans. And, you know, of course, 90% of the time the quarterback is going to have to bite that, but sometimes it's not always his fault. It's just a guy or a newer guy not understanding the coverage.
Yeah, I love, and that's what I love about football, right? It's such an interesting game, and you call a play, but then there's so many adjustments.
Yeah, once that ball is snapped, it's so many things that could dictate where you're going and the depth of your route, right? So
when you lined up, would you always know if the defensive backs were in a zone or man-to-man? Like, would you always know, or would they still fool you sometimes?
Yeah, you would always know, but then sometimes they can trick you. But being like a veteran receiver, like you learn that really quick. If the guy is on you and then all of a sudden he disappears, all of a sudden you're knowing that that's zone. And what you've been practicing all week, because you've watched this over and over and over, like 2-3 times a day in practice. So you've had that opportunity to see this with your quarterback. And when you and the quarterback is watching this, you mean, okay, when he dropped this time, okay, instead of me curling, going to 10, I'm going to go to 8. Or when this linebacker expands, I'm going right to that window where he just left. So when you're seeing receivers that's catching over 100 catches in one season, that means he's understanding defense.
Which you did. I think you did it more than once, if I remember. So, so that's good to know. Yeah, I love that that part of the game and all the adjustments that can happen on the fly. Speaking of offenses, and I've probably talked about this with you before. Chris Jones is back now for his second tenure. Steve McAdoo is his offensive coordinator, who to me runs a very interesting offense. I'm not going to lie. I know that they've had some good seasons. I do get frustrated sometimes because it seems to me they're trying to gain exactly 5 yards on every play. you see more, and we saw a lot of, I mean, you mentioned that Trey Ford drive, hell of a drive. I mean, it took 9 minutes, but there wasn't a lot of big plays, and I do like the types of passes. You know, Jason Tucker used to catch a lot of those 12-yard passes, right? Even if he doesn't get any yak, it's a first down. So what's your view of sort of the Jones McAdoo offense, am I being a little too hard on it?
I think like right now it's hard to be really hard on them because none of the coaches want to show their hands right now, especially we're going into this first game against Saskatchewan. So for Saskatchewan to look at what we did last year, because I'm pretty sure Coach Jones and Coach McAdoo, they're going to add some wrinkles, and this is the CFL, so you're going to see a lot of deep shots. But you know, as little information as you can give your opponents going into that first game, just give it to them, because it's just, like you say, it's just preseason. But you got to evaluate some guys. And probably their thinking going into this game was, okay, let's just dink and dunk. Let's give it to guys in space within 5 yards, and let's see who can be an athlete. Let's see who can break a tackle. Let's see a guy that can make these yak yards, right?
So when you played – and obviously you had great rapport with Flutie. You've told me about him before. You got to play with Ricky. Were you consciously setting up a DB for a kill shot in the third or fourth quarter? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you've done that. And so that's what I was saying. When you do the little dink and you do the dunk, right? And then you may, you just try that defensive back on the other side, like let one of your other slot receivers take a shot. and you just get a feel for it. And that's where the coaches that's up in the box is really valuable to the coaches that's on the sideline. Because if you beat a DB and the coach on a, your head coach or the coordinator don't happen to see it, you tell him to come right back to it on that same down, that same distance, because that DB 9 times out of 10 is going to be running that same type of coverage, and you just take the shot. You take your shot.
So if you have feedback for your quarterback or your offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. is there time, well, I guess not with the OC, but mm-hmm. is there time to do that in the huddle before a play, or does it have to wait until before the next series, you know, when your defense is on the field?
Yeah, you normally would do it when your defense is on the field. Once you come to the sideline, everybody gather, because one thing that is also really, which is really big, is your backup quarterbacks, because they see it, right? And sometimes if that starting quarterback didn't see it, they'll come and be like, well, you know, Tucker or Mook, they just ran by him and they didn't cover it. Or whenever we call this certain play, they're just leaving like Mookie wide open. So just take a look. They'll tell Ricky sometimes, like, Ricky, take a look, like look backside and then come back field side, you know, because it's there, or vice versa. Look at Mook and then pull that safety, and then they gun Tucker is one-on-one on that backside.
Right. So you're not just wanting the ball for yourself all the time, too. You're running, you know, you can run a pattern to set up a teammate, too.
And then that's what makes great offenses, right? And I think that's why we had so much success when I was here, because the receivers that I was surrounded with, we all was unselfish. Like, if it was Ed Hervey's day to catch 100-plus yards in the game, like, we're going to do whatever we can. If you're the hot hand, you be the hot hand. Let's just leave this game with a win. That was our mentality back then. We didn't have a selfish group of guys, and the younger guys that was with us, they bought into our system, and they bought into the receiver's way.
Well, see, I'm glad you say that, right? Because everybody thinks, and I joke about it, that all the receivers are going to the quarterback. I'm open. No, I'm open.
I never, since I started playing football, I never believed in doing that, because it's so much that this quarterback got to think about during the game and during the play. The last thing he need is a receiver all in his ear, like trying to force him to throw him the ball. And then, because I've always seen that it don't end well. It don't end well when that one guy is constantly forcing his quarterback to look his way. And when the quarterback do it, it's a pick six and it's going the other way. And now we're all mean mugging you and that quarterback when y'all come to the sideline. Like,
yeah. Having said that, you never believed you were covered on a play if the ball did come your way, right?
No, you never covered. You know, we're never covered. We're never covered.
So you think Eugene Lewis, though, he's the guy for the receiving core? He can be right up there, top of the league?
Yeah, he can. He can. And I've watched him over the years. He's a great receiver, great receiver. You know, kudos to him. I'm glad that he's here in the green and gold. And so I'm hoping that he have an outstanding season this year.
Right on. Okay. Mookie, I wish we had more time, but I love talking to you. We'll try to get you in studio later on in the season, and we'll tell some more stories. I always love what you bring to the show.
Will do. Yes.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
All right, man.
That is Darrell Mookie Mitchell checking in, former receiver in Toronto and Edmonton, went to the Canadian Football Hall of Fame in 2016, won the Grey Cup in 97 and 05, CFL Most Outstanding Rookie in 97, 160 receptions in 1998, three-time CFL All-Star, on and on it goes, and he's a great guest here on Inside Sports.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.